Hi, and welcome to the Flute Talk Podcast, where we talk about all things flute and answer your questions live on YouTube. If you want to help us out, be sure to subscribe to our channel and add us to your podcast feed over on iTunes or Google Play. And if you want to represent TFC, head over to our merch store for t-shirts, stickers, mugs, and posters. You can go to designbyhumans.com/shop/theflutechannel. Finally, if you're looking into buying a new flute, be sure to check out the Flute Center of New York at flutesforsale.com. With our code TFC at checkout, you'll be able to try up to 3 flutes or piccolos, and whichever instrument you choose, you get an extended 18-month warranty on it. So be sure at checkout to put in the special code TFC at flutesforsale.com. Now on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome to the Flute Talk Podcast. I'm Nick.
And I'm Emily.
A couple little problems today, but that's okay. You doing all right?
Yes.
Yeah? Yes, good.
Yeah. Stress with the sound.
Yeah, stress with the sound a little bit. I think there probably still is a little bit, but we'll see.
Yeah, people will tell us.
People will tell us in the chat. Just let us know in the chat. And yeah, you just had a couple online
I had an online lesson just before.
Yeah. How do you like doing those?
It's cool. Yeah. I like it.
What's different than,
you can't touch the person.
You can't touch the person.
Touch. Yeah, you know, you can't move their flute. Mm-hmm. But, you know, really, it's not, except for that, you know, you can see and you can hear. You can't play together at the same time, but I can still give an example. I can still do and there's not a big delay. Mm-hmm. So I can play and we can do imitation, you know. Sometimes I teach by imitation, so I play, you play, I play, you play, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That works totally fine. I can give examples, I can, yeah. So,
yeah,
if I don't see, I just tell the person to move a bit the camera or show me another angle or something. But usually,
there's a delay in the sound, as usual. A delay in the sound. Ah, well, we'll have to deal with it because I have to go all the way to the computer to do it. It was a bunch of, but maybe it's not. People say it does sound good too. Okay. And some people say the sound is not in sync, but we'll try our best because I think the internet's really weird. I don't know what's going on, but yeah, so people are Colombia, all these types of places. And so yeah, you were just talking about how you were doing, you have online lessons now. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And it's a new thing for you, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty new.
Yeah, a couple of months. I've been doing it for a couple of months.
That's pretty cool. And you also have a studio here, too, as well, which is great, like, inside at home, which is nice.
I've been teaching for a long time before that. But, a lot of years and years. But the Skype thing, it's more recent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you guys have any questions, let us know in the chat, and we'll definitely answer some of those questions for you if you have any questions about the flute. We have some questions here from this past 2 weeks, and we're going to get through some of them. Also, a cool thing that happened this week, or 2 weeks ago, just after we finished the podcast last time, 2 weeks ago, we found out that Terry Crews, who's a very famous actor, and who's also a flutist, if you've ever seen him in Brooklyn Nine-Nine or anything like that, I checked our subscription list, and he's our top subscriber. He's the subscriber that has the most subscribers, and he was on top of the list. I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. So I reached out to him on Instagram and stuff, and maybe we'll see what, maybe he'll make a comment one day. Who knows? There's the
title.
Very
happy.
Yeah.
We love what he does.
Yeah, we love what he does, and he's very creative.
And sometimes we make jokes because I intermittent fast.
Yeah, you intermittent fast. Yeah.
But I don't get the same results.
No.
So
no.
That's the joke.
Yeah. And, so what, the good question was, do you use alternate fingerings and why do you use them and which ones do you use?
Yeah, I use some sometimes, like, it can be for intonation purposes.
Mm-hmm.
It can be for technique purposes, like to go faster. Sometimes I'll use harmonic fingerings.
Uh-huh.
Let's say you have to go G, F sharp, E, D, instead of going you know, you might it went okay, but if you go, you can go way faster. So that Sometimes I'll use, well, now my C sharps are pretty in tune, you know, but they're usually high, so I used to put three fingers of the left hand, of the right hand, you know, to bring it down a little bit. Usually if you add fingers, you lower the note.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I remove my pinky on the E to help with the cracking. Sometimes if I want to play a high F sharp, soft, I'll use the middle finger instead of the ring finger of the right hand. Little things like that. G sharp, if I want to lower it, the high third octave G sharp, I'll add two fingers here, the ring finger and the third finger.
Okay.
Like, what do you use? Like, you use a lot of alternate fingerings.
Yeah, most of the time. Most of the time I use some alternate fingerings. I guess
not most of the time,
but my way of thought about it is that I try to figure out whatever works. I use it at that one moment. So
yeah,
like
it's about the result.
It's always about the result. So yeah. You have that basic foundation of all the keys, but then you realize you can do little adjustments here and there, and then there's certain combinations on the flute that also make the same note again that you would never think of and stuff like that. So.
Because
it's interesting.
It's a big thing. We had a discussion about it about that this week, you know. Some people and a lot of some teachers, I would say, and then when you learn that way, maybe you tend to be that way.
Uh-huh.
They use their eyes more than their ears when it comes to music. So they'll look at you and say, uh-huh, "Oh, you didn't use the right fingering," or "Oh, you didn't do this," or
sure.
But if the result is good, that's what counts, because the music there, it's a blueprint to the result. You know, the composer writes it there for you to make the most beautiful music with it. The composer doesn't care if you use this fingering or that fingering.
Right.
That's a flutist thing, like a obsession.
Obsession, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. I think it's for a lot of different things. Like, personally, my finger technique is a bit high. You know?
Yes.
Some people could look at it and be like, it's way too high. Well, maybe for most people it's too high, but I can play pretty fast with my technique. But also I have my ligaments are too elastic. Like I have, how do you call that? Hyperlax ligaments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe, you know, I don't have the same range of motion. I don't have the same. We're all different.
Exactly.
So if it works for me, why would I change anything? It works.
Uh-huh.
I think I said that before. Rampal used to put his pinky of the left hand under the G sharp key.
Exactly.
I would
right.
never do that. I would never advise anyone to do that. But if I had a student with Rampal's technique that came to me, I would not ask him to change it either.
Uh-huh.
You know? Because it didn't bother him. It didn't make him make any mistake. It's not a problem you should fix, because it's not a problem. It's just a different way of doing things
mm-hmm.
that worked for him.
For him,
like
yeah.
Some people play on the side, some people...
Mm.
It's a whole... Listen, and if... You know, if someone has pain
mm-hmm.
or different things like that, you
right.
fix it. But if there's no problem and it sounds good...
Yeah,
you
don't
it's
fix
just
it.
A way of thinking for fingerings, for... embouchure technique, whatever, you know?
Mm.
So that was my...
Yeah. There we go. So hopefully that answers that question. I don't know. I know what it is now, but what used to be, or still is maybe, your daily practice routine? I know, like, we practice less now than because we do stuff, but, like, when you were up and coming, I assume that's where it was coming from somebody
yeah,
who's probably
was,
a teenager.
The learning phase,
I guess, yeah.
or mastering phase,
mm-hmm,
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I used to practice, well, for a while I practiced 3 hours a day. I think the most efficient part where I built my technique a lot, practiced 3 hours a day, and I would do about 30 minutes of sound, and then 30 to 45 minutes of technique, like scales
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Different finger things.
Uh-huh.
And then another 30 minutes on a study. I would learn one big study a week. And then I would learn an excerpt, an orchestral excerpt. I would practice that 15 minutes a day approximately, and then the rest of the time was gone for my repertoire. So that was pretty much how I practiced. But if you have less time, you just put less time on each item. Uh-huh. But I think practicing each is a good way.
I agree. That's pretty much what I
make everything go up, you know, make everything improve at once.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I would say the exact same thing. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
And what I like about that is that, let's say you work on your sound first. So you think of the sound. You only think of that. Then when the technique comes in, when you start doing your scales, you blow the same way, you keep the same sound quality, but you add this.
Uh-huh.
And then you add on, you know, and then you add also the articulations and all those things, and you keep the same sound quality. Uh-huh. And then you add playing a piece, but keeping that same, you know? Uh-huh. So it's a good way to just stay focused on the important things.
Hopefully that answers your question a little bit. It's a little bit less. I like that. That was a good answer. Yeah, it's really great. Because, like, most people, they kind of just say, like, this, 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 this. But it's really, really quick.
Maybe it was not clear enough.
No, it was totally.
Okay.
Mathis says, hopefully I pronounced that right. This is coming from a non-flute player. They really enjoyed the dynamics in that different flute, in the different price flute video that we made. How do you do this? Is it just a matter of blowing less air in the flute? You know,
That's so funny because I remember someone put a comment that was that it was all about the eyebrows, and I thought it was so funny. I didn't even know I was doing that.
Yeah, the eyebrows. Yeah.
I never noticed.
Yeah.
It's all about the eyebrows.
Yeah.
Dynamic
eyebrows. Dynamics. Just use eyebrows.
But yeah, no. You blow less air. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to compensate in many ways to keep the same intonation.
Right.
So you don't go down when... So the intonation doesn't go down when you play soft. You have to compensate. Hence the eyebrows, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
yes, it's a matter of how much air, but then you have to work on the air speed and the opening of the mouth, because you close your... The hole becomes smaller. Yeah. And then you put, you know, it's a whole system that has to work. So everything stays
in sync. Yeah. Nice. So hopefully that answers your question. Nice, cool question. That's one of our favorite videos. If you haven't seen that yet, everybody on the planet's seen it. That's a flutist. Or anybody, really. It's a lot of, we've met a lot of people.
Oh. There's still a lot of people on the planet that can see
it. Yeah, there's still a lot of people that can see it. Yeah, it's true. Another question was, what are the pros and cons, or how do you feel are the pros and cons of a B foot to a C foot? Like, what are the benefit programs when you think about it? Because I know I started on a C foot. I think you started on a C foot. I think every flutist has almost started on a C foot. And for me, it just adds an extra note so that you can play some pieces that have been written. There's about, you know, maybe a couple hundred pieces that have that. But I know a lot of flutists that play with a C and then play with an extension tube or have another B foot, a spare B foot, because they think it projects more, or maybe they think it vibrates brighter. There's so many different feelings that people get.
Some people have three different foot.
Feet.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, because so,
there's a B flat as well.
Mozart, and before him, it stops at the D. There's no C.
There's no C.
So they say, why have the extra length if I don't need it, and it kind of makes my sound a bit darker or whatever. Yeah. Personally, I don't have the luxury of three foot joints.
Yeah.
So I just have the B foot, but those are the pros and cons, I guess. It gives you more notes, but then for the acoustics, it's not as easy, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. I know, like, traversos and a lot of those flutes used to come with several of them because it wasn't that very expensive to make those types, but because they were made out of wood, you know. Now, I'm not saying it was made cheap, but made well. So there was, so you were able to even interchange the middle part as well, which is really amazing. Imagine.
But also from one city to another back then, you had a different pitch.
Tunings, yeah.
So if you were a traveling musician,
history lesson,
different flutes to be able to play in different cities, because in one city was at 4:15, and the city next door, like the other city, was 4:30, and then they all had different A's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a. So they didn't have an atomic clock either, you know. Maybe the time was not perfectly in sync everywhere, but yeah.
Yeah, so Luke says it's nice to have a low dominant B when playing with guitars who overuse the key of E. Yeah, that's true. And yeah, if you guys have any questions in if you're watching live, be sure to ask us in the comments and we'll answer them. Another question was, what method would you start with start with a child who doesn't necessarily have a band program at their school?
Yeah, well, we're writing a method right now.
Right.
It's almost finished.
So how would you go, what would the first lesson be? What is the first page of that book? What would you tell, what would you give to them?
I think we have videos about that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There's three videos, one about making your first sounds on the flute with only the head joint.
I think we have to redo them and put them in HD, like.
Yeah, because they were our first ones.
They were our first videos, yeah, where we do them, for sure.
So, yeah, you start by just taking the head joint and putting your hand. Well, I'll show it right now. Yep. You put your hand at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Put your mouth and you.
Right.
Like if you're doing it in a bottle,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a
mm-hmm.
beer bottle or any other type of bottles, and then you remove your hand, then it becomes a bit more difficult,
mm-hmm.
and more resistance.
Right.
Airspeed, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You need more airspeed. That's the first thing, you know, making a sound. Then you learn to assemble it. You learn where to put your fingers, because there are more keys than fingers.
Mm.
Where to put your fingers, and then a B. And then in the method we're writing right now, I composed a little piece with just a B and some chords for the teacher, or we'll record those so that
mm-hmm.
if you don't have a teacher,
exactly.
you can still play it with it, with the accompaniment. And then I go on. I explain that you add a finger, you go one note down, so we learn three notes, and then I add notes each time.
Mm.
And the method is designed to be able to learn by yourself, and it's you don't need five books. You don't need one book for sound, one book for technique, one book for, because I try to put everything there: sight reading, rhythm, and sound exercises, technique, a little study, some repertoire, and everything's like, you know, Lesson one, and everything
Later.
Is in there.
That you can work on they can work on for a week, you know, or however many days, or whenever you figure it out.
Maybe in the beginning, you might have to work on it for 2 days, and maybe the more advanced lessons, you might have to work on them for 2-3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Because they're different level of difficulty. It all depends.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's going to be a helpful method. And
Totally.
We're going to release it soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to release it soon. Just doing some designs and going through some edits, and we'll be having out there, and then book 2 and book 3.
Yeah, because it's already laid out.
Yeah, exactly.
In my head, but just have
it's
to put it on paper.
Yeah.
That's the long part.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Ideas are not a problem.
No, totally. Yeah, I think that's about it for the questions that we had.
Is there another one?
No, those were notes that we had about taking online lessons and how that is. Also about Terry, we were talking about that just before. But also we're slowly going to hopefully do online group lessons that we're going to work through Discord. If you guys don't know what Discord is, be sure to go and check that out, see what it is, get comfortable with it. If you want to have it's a cheaper alternative than having one-on-one lessons if you can't afford those types of lessons, or if you want to learn about how other people learn as well, this is going to be having live one-on-one, but people listening in, and then everybody taking turns having lessons with you, and it's significantly more affordable for people. And we're going to do some testing this month with a couple people, and then we're going to release it out for people to sign up. And it's only going to be about, we'll see, it's going to be way cheaper than a traditional 1 hour lesson, because a traditional 1 hour lesson is about, you know, $70-$75, you know. It's and then this will be significantly less, so that everyone can have a cool experience. And I think it's something that's going to be the future of
masterclass. Cool, because you can also learn from others.
Exactly. So it's meant to be like a communicative thing, not just like a masterclass or a group lesson, but really a group lesson that has people inside that are all contributing together to help each other or to ask questions. And you're just kind of the person who brings everybody together and talks about how to do specific things on the flute.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when we do the flute festival here in the summer in Montreal,
yeah,
then you should check it out if you want to do a festival.
Yeah,
this summer,
exactly. It's very cool. Yeah, the flute festival is 3 days long this year.
Yeah, and we have Alexa Still, who's amazing, who comes and gives the afternoon masterclass. But really, masterclass, it's an intimidating word for just group class.
Very, know? Very intimidating word and for just a group class.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's, and I think at the festival, we make people feel comfortable.
All right.
And I think that would be the goal.
No,
the same goal.
Yeah, with the Discord. Yeah, with the Discord, totally. Yeah,
to
with
make everyone feel comfortable.
Absolutely.
And usually what I do in the mornings is that, well, we do a warm-up. We can't do that there because there's going to be a delay and it's going to be
right.
But whatever, that doesn't matter. But then what I do is I go and ask everyone what's their goal, what they want to work on.
Right.
Then we work on it all together. And then if there's time, people can play their pieces.
Exactly.
So I think we're going to try to do something organic like that.
Totally. Totally.
Instead of being on a timer like 15 minutes per person. Uh-huh. I don't know. We'll see how people feel, because we're there to make people happy. So if they want something, we'll try to find an organic way of
doing things
to make it nice for everyone.
Yeah. And we'll have a release video about that soon, talking about it. And if you're on our Facebook page, you should go and like it. We talk about it there a little bit. And there's a form there that you can fill out to give us information about how you would like this group lesson to be. And also on our website, theflutechannel.com, we'll have more information too later on.
Because in the summer, you know, some people are like, oh, I would like to work on my soft high notes.
Mm-hmm.
And someone else was like, me, it's breathing. And so, you know, and then we were able to work on those different things. And everyone has to work on those things.
Exactly. So, Mikael, oh my god, he wants to know, at what pitch do you practice, Amelie, A440 or A442?
Usually
A441.
Yeah,
that's what goes on around here. That's how,
but you know,
likes to stir the pot this way.
But then sometimes I have to completely readjust.
What a compromise.
Person, but yeah, that's part of my personality, I guess. But the festival last summer, it was the pianos where we rented.
Right.
It was quite
incredibly
high.
Sharp.
I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, 444. I think it was.
Goes that high.
I think it was 444. 445. Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Was
quite something. Quite something.
Yeah.
Do you feel a difference in the technique when you practice in one pitch and then change?
No.
No. Me either. No. Hopefully that's what that means.
Sometimes I put my flute and I forget to put it in the right spot, you know. So it's
me too.
Too out, and I play. What is wrong with my sound? But it's on my, you know, because timbre and pitch in our brain, they're sometimes we mix them up.
So
I think my sound is dark, but it really is just too low.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's funny, but that's it. That's the only thing it changes.
Okay.
My perception of the timbre changes if it's too low.
I see.
That's also why some people play so sharp, because it makes it sound more brilliant, more how do you say that? Shiny.
Shiny. Yeah.
If it's higher. So they always Push higher and higher.
Yeah,
at
totally.
At one point, it's not an A is gonna be an A sharp.
Yeah, know? That's like, it.
Then why?
Huh? That's so funny. It's interesting
don't know.
To think that way.
Like really? Yeah. How high can you go before it's A sharp?
Yeah. That answered his question. I guess basically, I think we still have. You have a concert coming up.
Yes.
That you're going to be playing Chaminade.
Yeah.
And
I might play Chopin, but we don't know yet.
You might play Chopin.
It's a piano concert.
Yeah, piano concert.
My
yeah.
piano teacher for 5 years when I was a teenager, who's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And she was also my accompanist.
Mm-hmm.
And competitions and all those things. And she's doing a concert for like a benefit
concert to raise money for her choir. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she doesn't have that much time with mm-hmm. the flute, so we're gonna
right.
figure out how much we can play together in that concert.
Yeah. For people who don't know what the Chaminade sounds like, could you play just a tiny second of it?
Yeah. We also have a learn Chaminade.
We also do. We have a two part learning Chaminade.
And so on.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll hopefully have some type of like little recording of it from your concert there. And
nice.
And we have this past week we released a lot of videos, actually more than what we usually do, which is really awesome. And we're going to try to do that as well. We're going to try to do Monday, Wednesdays still, and then just practicing or something like that on the weekends. But we're going to scatter a couple little videos here and there this week. We got another flute review from the Flute Center of New York. We also have a couple of other videos about specific things.
We
yeah.
have one that's a breathing exercise with a little ball that goes.
Right, I'm very happy about that. Yeah, about cardiac coherence, which is really something that I think every one of you flutists that are watching this today or whenever you're going to be watching this, you should really look at that video and try it out because it really, really helps putting you at ease.
Oh, yeah.
When you're either about to do a concert or if you're at home and you want to, and you're getting nervous, any of those types of things.
For musicians.
No, but
it's
for everyone.
But I think it's particularly good for musicians because, you know, it lowers your cortisol level, your stress hormone level, hormones, because you have different stress hormones, but cortisol is a big one. And what happens is that if you do it on a regular basis, it changes. It changes all those hormonal things. So you're there's research that says that it even changes the composition of your blood because then
I know.
You don't have those
yeah.
hormones in your bloodstream anymore, so you don't react to stress
yeah.
in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's true because
yeah.
I've been doing it
totally.
2 to 3 times a day. Okay, they say do it 3 times a day. Sometimes
yeah,
I do it
they
twice.
Say to do yeah.
I try not to stress about it. Mm-hmm. That's not, the point is not to stress about it. But I think it really helps because I've had, you know, like everyone, life is stressful. We have to deal with daily life. And I feel that I can stay calmer. And I was, yeah. So, and it's so easy to do.
Yeah, some
it's
people,
so easy
yeah.
And it's not intimidating. It's
yeah.
not like, oh, I might think, no, you're just breathing
yeah.
in and out.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the flute, nothing to do with the instrument. It's just about... I'm breathing out, you know, like
you
that's all
it
is.
You
can do it with your flute as well. Yeah, you can also
I
do it with your flute as well. Totally. Because some people say in the comments that the ball was going up too fast, but it's exactly the.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
5 seconds.
5 seconds, yeah.
5 seconds,
exactly.
For 5 minutes.
So you have what, 35 breaths? Something like that?
30,
oh? 30 breaths, yeah.
You have 6 per minute.
30. 6 per minute, yeah. 30, yeah, exactly.
And it brings your heart rate into a coherence because when you breathe in, your heart rate slightly increases.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really true. I just
yeah.
tried it for myself and it's true. When I breathe
right.
it goes a tiny bit faster. And when I breathe out, it goes a bit slower. And when you take someone's heart rate and you, let's say you put one beat,
mm-hmm.
one interval,
mm-hmm.
and you say, okay, what would be this person's heart rate for a minute according to that, only that beat, then you do it for every beat, there's a big difference between one and the other.
Right.
The interval is like 90, 60, steady. 70. Yeah, yeah. It's
this. Everywhere. It's so everywhere. Yeah. Yeah.
When you do that exercise, it brings, you know, it goes a bit faster and slower. And then you get that coherence, mm-hmm. and it brings your emotions and your heart rate in check because they're linked, emotions mm-hmm. and heart. There's two nerves that go from the emotional brain to the heart. And yeah, I have a colleague who had difficulties with taking the plane, and she says it helped her tremendously.
Oh, really?
That exercise, because she can calm herself down. Mm. And she's also less stressed to begin with because she does it 3 times a day.
Right.
She's been doing it for years.
Is it, yeah. So, in short, people should try it. It's really amazing. Yeah. It's kind of awesome. And Mathis, again, wants to know, is it necessary to have fast breathing while playing the flute?
Yes.
Yeah. 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 You have to have, like... You have to be able to suck in a lot of air very fast. Like,
because sometimes you just have it. Not that type of sound, though. And go, and you have to bring in
so much air and be able to use all that air efficiently. So, yeah.
Yeah. And if you want to breathe fast, mm-hmm. you can think of, like, open your throat. Sometimes what I do is I push my belly out and then kind of comes in. And also another thing is if I think of breathing in too fast, I tend to close my throat. So think slow, fast. Like I breathe in with a type of accelerando, you know? I go...
Accelerando, yeah, it's totally. Like
a bit slow in the beginning and then I get all the air.
Interesting, yeah.
And it's more efficient than if you close your throat and then it doesn't come out, doesn't come in as easily.
Also... Bayou Girl 132595 has a question. She is trying out for a high school level band, and in order to get in, I have to learn how to play really high notes. How do you have any advice for that?
We have a video about high notes.
We do. If you check out that video, check it out. But I don't want to just say that. But I mean, like, no, what's another way? Absolutely. Yeah.
Well. Sometimes people are scared of their high notes, and then they tense up, and then it doesn't come out. Sometimes it's psychological.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't know the fingerings, you have to find...
You have to practice them and
learn the fingerings. Yeah. What I do with my students usually is I add one note a week in their sound exercise. So
okay.
So they go, ta-na, ta-na, yeah. ta-na. Let's say they stop at E, I'm like, okay, E, and then next week you go up to F.
How would you?
If you're more in a rush,
yeah,
you add one
that's what
a
I mean.
Day,
yeah,
know?
Yeah, we add one a day, and then do you like group them in twos or threes or fours later on, and like practice the smoothness between the high notes, like E F G, E F G A, or you know, like different combinations.
Your scales, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, practice your scales in those high registers. You know, as high as B, right? High B, like the B
but
that you. Yeah.
I don't know how high.
Yeah,
she
I
has
don't know either. Yeah,
audition,
so. But if it's getting her a little anxious, then it's probably pretty normally
but
high.
Sometimes
it's probably
also
G's.
What happens is that we tighten the lips when what we need to do is push with the
air,
the
air,
belly.
Air.
More
yeah,
air,
more
like
air. Less up
faster,
here,
faster
less up
air.
Here, more energy out.
And if you
energy
put your hand
out.
In front of your mouth and you blow warm air, it's slower. That's for the low register. If you want to play higher notes, you need faster air. You go and you blow cold air in your hand, that's the air you're going to use for the high register. And you can practice that in your hand, and then you do it with your flute. Another thing you can do is, and then you put your hand on your belly, and you go, and you'll feel, like you can see it on my belly, that it's the muscles are going up.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the same thing that you do.
Yeah, it goes out. Yeah, out. Yeah.
Well, for me,
out and in. I mean, that's what I meant. Yeah, yeah.
And it makes the air go faster. And also, then you do that in your flute. And you keep your throat open. If you can't get them out, try singing in your flute. Maybe also try harmonics. Harmonics are magical for the high register. I did we make a video video about harmonics, like how to do harmonics, or
we include harmonics in a lot of videos.
I think it's included in the high
note. Yeah, video. But maybe we just make a whole video just about harmonics with lots of harmonic exercises, just going
or
through.
Or just explaining.
What explaining and also just for people to use. Yeah, totally. How do the pads hold to the keys? Are they glued to the keys? Okay, so some of them are, yes. Like the trill keys have glued shellac in them. It's called shellac or some other types of material. Most pads are just are tailored to fit perfectly, and there's a screw that screws it on, or there's a grommet that holds it in as well, and then there's little pieces of paper sometimes to even out the pads. As Christiana asked this question, because sometimes she has pads that fall sometimes and change her sound. You should go to a technician and have them fix it.
Yeah.
It won't, if the pad is in good shape, it won't cost you much at all to get it fixed. So go get it fixed.
Before it rips,
before you lose a grommet, or before you lose a screw. If you lose a little screw that holds up one of those pads in the thing, that might be hard to find, because if you don't have a flute that's normal, it's going to be like a normal... If it's an old flute, it's very, very hard to... What they most likely have to do is make their own screws, you know? That's what they usually do.
That takes some time to make screws,
exactly. Is there a huge difference between a handmade flute from a standard flute? Because I saw somewhere some flutes with a head joint and silver body, but not a silver head joint. It's a bit sporadic, the rest of it, but there's some differences, I guess. Yeah, like I said, the difference, can you hear the difference video? Like, really, it comes down to actually the craftsmanship of how much effort you have to put in your hands and in your mouth technique and all that stuff to, I think, personally, because gold, silver, platinum... for me, I don't see much difference, to be honest.
Well, some scientists say
there's none.
There's none.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of physicists from Boulder, from a lot of places that have emailed us and messaged us.
My flute teacher, his best friend was a physicist, and we would go to the restaurant together, and he would laugh. The physicist would laugh at my teacher, like, ha ha ha.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe you have a gold flute. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's jewelry. It's expensive jewelry.
You can't change anything in yourself.
Yeah.
It's not possible. And he's my teacher would say, you're not an artist. You don't understand. And
oh my God.
I'm a scientist. And I'm telling you, that is.
We've gotten a lot of emails and messages from like that, which is totally, I think, correct in a lot of ways.
A lot of things. They have done some experiments with wine. They put cheap wine in an expensive
bottle. Yeah.
And then people are like, oh my God, it's the best wine I've ever had. And it's Panama wine.
Definitely. Yeah, it's convenience store wine. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because we're so influenceable, I guess, you know, like,
so by material by those types of things. Yeah,
things can completely influence us, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and
so
I think that's
tough to know.
It's tough to know. Not really tough to know. It's really just that.
But
it's science in a lot of ways.
That's
the thing. But that's craftsmanship, though. But that's craftsmanship,
because
you know.
If you're a good flutist, you're gonna make pretty much any okay flute sound good.
Any flute that is well maintained to the best of its ability,
if it closes well,
you're gonna make it sound fine. Yeah, totally.
The other thing is, how easy will it be to play?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But some people say, "Oh, if it's an alloyed."
Nickel silver alloy.
Yeah, that it's easier for someone who doesn't blow as hard to make it sound good than if it's silver.
Oh yeah.
Is it true that thing? Because someone told me that. Oh yeah, mm-hmm. It's gonna make sound.
No.
A student, I don't think so.
I knew people in orchestras that played on Yamaha 222s. Big orchestras. People would play on crappy flutes. No one cared.
It's not crappy. You know? It's
not crappy,
flute.
But I mean a normal flute. It was well-maintained, but it was a normal flute that didn't have any bells and whistles. Not silver, platinum, or gold. We will do. Luke just mentioned we actually will be doing double blind tests soon, and it's going to turn out to be pretty amazing, I think, personally, because really I want to kind of tell people it's about craftsmanship. How good is the mechanism built? And all those types of things.
What you're used to.
Yeah, what you're used to. Yeah.
My flute, so I guess my flute is the easiest one to play for me.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you got me a better flute,
mm-hmm.
I would probably have to adjust.
Yeah, yeah,
the
totally.
Beginning, I would probably say this flute is better.
Exactly.
You know? So.
So yeah.
But yeah, we'll do a.
Well, it's gonna come out soon. Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna do a whole a 50 Shades Darker with flutes type of thing. But no, we really are. We're planning something very special about that, and we're gonna release that hopefully soon. About that, doing a double blind test.
No pain.
On several.
No pain is supposed to happen. Tomorrow.
No pain whatsoever. Just plain flutes.
Just fun.
Just fun. Yeah. Mikhail said he saw a Muramatsu with a silver head joint and body silver plated, more expensive than a Sankoi with a silver head joint and silver body. Okay, so Muramatsu is more expensive than that flute because Muramatsu makes really good flutes and it's really in their craftsmanship to build really, really sturdy flutes. They're sort of like they're the Volvo of flutes. They're really the Volvo of flutes.
For flutes, it's not like if you buy jewelry, it's not just about the material, it's about how it was made. Built.
And I think the tubing is the, to be honest, I think the tubing is the least thing. The you shouldn't care about the tubing at all. Like, tubing is almost 99% of it. I think personally, you can't screw up, and it's just tubing. You know, it's like if you put really good mechanism.
So what would be the most important thing?
Mechanism, yeah. Springs, pads, the actual rim of each pad has to be either, you know, done specific ways so that it seals perfectly. There's no leaks. You know, like, there's a lot of flute makers, like Guo flutes, they have plastic flutes, but those flutes can seal, and if it's very well done, you can't hear the difference.
No,
like, you tried the cheapest one, but there was leaks in them. There was a leak in that. But there are some Guo flutes and alto flutes and bass flutes that people cannot, and I think I'm hoping we get some boxes of them from them. I want
to
do some double blind tests with that as well. But you would know instantly how it feels if you did it blind, because it feels like plastic.
And also, it's way lighter.
I
would know right away.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this is a plastic flute. So it's harder to do.
It was a bigger tube.
Yeah.
From the outside, like in my hands. It was
bigger, yeah.
Than this flute.
It would have to be like a listening test with somebody listening in the hall, and then see if they really can hear the difference. That would be an interesting test.
Yeah, because hearing, you know, it's like I was looking for a cello for a kid, and we were checking online, and there was a, like, oh, here's the sound of that cello, and my son was like, yeah, but that's not me playing that cello, I won't sound like that. You know, they take a pro, and they say, play that, look, it sounds like this. Yeah, it sounds like this if you're him or her.
Let's do one final question. OSA13, the chat's really having a fun time talking, it's really funny, asked, this is how to improve air support, but they want to know how to do air support in the high register, like the fifth and sixth octave. It's really hard.
It doesn't exist.
I know, but that's what the question says. I'm assuming it's the highest notes. Like, I'm assuming the highest notes. So probably above the staff.
Above the G.
Yeah, above the G. Everything above G.
Oh, I guess they count. Okay. Yeah. Maybe
that's. Oh, that's probably what they mean, like piano register. Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe.
Well. Support is always the same if you're supporting in the low register or the high register. The only thing is that if you don't support, your high register is not going to come out.
Yeah, support.
So I would say, if you want to feel which muscles are involved, you can do this on and you feel it right away. And then you put your hands all around your belly in the back on the sides just to feel
right.
And then you use those same muscles when you play the flute, and that's support.
That's support. And we have a lot of videos about that, yeah.
Which muscles are involved and then
using those. Totally.
And the same trick I just gave up. Put your hand on your belly. Feel what's going on. And then you're like, oh, support has to be in the not in the
No.
You know, it's a different support from low to
that last
high.
Bit of energy. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's faster than.
Yeah.
If it's lower in my belly.
Exactly.
But everything's working together because my it's a whole system that works together. And at one point, you have to feel, you have to know which muscles are involved. It helps. You don't have to really, but it helps tremendously.
Yeah, it helps.
And then you can use them.
Mm. Interesting. Consciously.
Be like,
yeah.
Oh, I need to push with that muscle. That's how it feels. That's how you need to remember the feeling so you can recreate it again and again.
Interesting.
And also, don't be scared of your high notes. Just go for it. Because if you tense up like this, it's a self-fulfilled prophecy.
Absolutely.
It's not gonna come out. You have to open your throat. And you have to be open to. If you go all clenched up, you know, you will not be able to get it out. So instead of don't be afraid, because you cannot think of negative things. You know, if I don't be afraid, you're afraid, and then you say don't. You don't. Maybe think, be confident.
Be
confident. And you can even put it on your stand.
Yeah, make a little post-it notes. Yeah,
be
that's a good tip.
Be calm. Be, you know.
Do cardiac coherence.
Because you want to say the right thing to yourself to get the right result.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you're programming yourself all the time.
Big time.
The words you're using. So if you say, don't be scared, don't be scared, don't be nervous, you don't get the same results as if you say, be calm, be confident. Always try to find the positive way, what you want to get, not what you don't want to get.
Right.
Because this way you program yourself in the right way. Like if I want my kid not to forget his homework, I say, bring your homework.
Don't forget.
I try to do it, you know.
So hopefully that answered everybody's questions. I think we'll close it out for today. Like I said, be sure to check out our other videos that we have this past week. We have a couple of them that would be great for you guys to go and watch them, share them around. That'd be pretty amazing. We will be putting this up on the on iTunes and on Google Play. We're on both of them for the podcast version if you want to listen in on that and follow us along during your commute or anything like that. And we're actually going to resync this one. So be sure to come back and give it a view, give it a like, and comment and ask questions for our next Flute Talk podcast, which will be, I believe, just near Valentine's Day. Not on Valentine's Day, but it'll be close by. Two Saturdays from now, or two weeks, and we'll have a Just Practicing next week and stuff like that. So I'm Nick,
and I'm Emily,
and I will talk to you guys later. Thanks everyone for joining in. See ya.
Thanks.
Bye.